This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Uteboho and Aubrey on MUT Radio. I'm not sure if they can hear us. Aubrey, good morning. Okay, let me do like this. Morning, colleagues.
Morning. Good morning, Awetu and Sneezy. And good morning to your listeners out there. Can you guys hear us?
We can hear loud and clear. Thank you so much for joining us, Aubrey and Teboho on MUT Radio from Mlambo Attorneys, as we are working with you, man. Hopefully you're having a good morning, gents.
No, we are. Thank you. Thank you for welcoming us. And yes, as well, good morning to the listeners. And we're happy to be here.
Yes, definitely, man. Today, as I was saying, talking with this Nancy, we're speaking about something very close to my heart, which is labor law. In particular, employment contract. Now that is very important, especially in the world of work. It's what keeps you safe, in a way, if we put it like that. But I do not have information in Gago about it, Mina. Maybe if you can just introduce yourselves and then let's go straight into it, man. Uguti, when you're speaking about employment contracts, what exactly are we speaking about?
100%. No, that's I couldn't have said it better myself. So I'm Teboho Maisela. I'm a candidate attorney at Mlambo & Associates in our offices here in Johannesburg. And I'm with my senior here, and he will then introduce himself, and then we'll dive right into it.
Good morning once again to you, Awetu and Snezi, and to your listeners out there. My name is Aubrey Manong. I'm a senior consultant here at I'm a senior legal consultant at Mlambo & Associates Attorneys. I'm based in the Johannesburg office. I'm saying this because Mlambo Attorneys, there are also offices in Cape Town and one in Durban.
Thank you so much. No, thank you so much, Mr. Maisela. Going back to the employment contract, maybe briefly, if you can just discuss or tell us what exactly do we mean when we speak of a contract. And now, in particular, we're speaking of an employment contract. Are there different types of pharma contracts as we are saying that this one is an employment contract?
Sure. There's no, I would 100%. So, in essence, a contract of employment is literally just a reciprocal contract in terms of which an employee places the services at the disposal of another person or organization as an employer, and that is at a determined or determinable remuneration. So in other words, that is your kind of like your legal kind of definition, but it's basically as simple as that. It's one person is rendering a service to the other, and the other exercises control over the other. And of course, we do have different types of employment contracts. We will get into that in more detail. But we have an employee and employee, an employer and employee relationship, and we have also what we call an independent contractor, commonly known as the letting and hiring of services. So yes, that's in essence just on the periphery what an employment contract is.
Why is it important, Aubrey, into an employment contract?
Well, it is important so that, you know, the rights of the employee and the employer, both of them, are then protected. And then there's, you know, a document at least that links the employer and the employee into an employment relationship. So this contract can be verbal, it can be written. However, preferably it must be written.
Oh, okay. So it can be verbal, yes, and also can be written. So if we're saying, yes, we're speaking of a verbal contract, so I'm just going to say, no, you're hired and that's it, and hope that we're going to be cool.
Yes, sometimes it happens. For example, you know, businesses are not the same. Employers are not the same. Sometimes, let's say you want somebody to come and assist you at your house. to, you know, be a house executive or your helper. You know, so normally you wouldn't, practically, there isn't a written contract. However, this person is employed by you. You have agreed on remuneration and when this remuneration is being paid and where will your employee be staying. And, you know, if they are lodging with you or if they are traveling from home, the hours of work, you understand? So those type of things would ordinarily be your verbal contract.
And what are the consequences now of not having that employment contract now, if it's not written, it's just verbal? What are some of the consequences that may happen should I not have an employment contract with my employer?
Okay. Look, should there be a dispute, it might now be slightly, you know, difficult to prove certain elements of your contract. Because let's say, for example, yes, you can prove that there's an employer-employee relationship, for example, because this person was in your house for, let's say, 5 days a week for the past 3 months, for example. But certain elements might be difficult to prove, whereas if the contract is in writing, we obviously just refer to the written document should there be a dispute. But ordinarily, if there are no problems, everything will be running smoothly. So the verbal contract can just, you know, go on in the ordinary course of, you know, things.
And at which point should one have a contract, employment contract? Like when we say now you've been hired, should we discuss the employment contract immediately, or you should wait a certain period of time before now discussing in the buyer contract?
No, look, Snezi, I'll take this one. Yeah, look, it's important that the status of an employee be established right from the beginning of the employment relationship, whether it be a permanent, a fixed term, temporary. You know, so it's very important that right from the beginning one establishes the contract between the employer and employee in order for the employer and the employee to start, you know, having the benefits and protection of the legislations that protect and govern labor law as a whole. So you would want to make sure that whenever you engage in an employment contract, that it is established solidly from the beginning, so that as an employee, you know exactly what your rights are, and the law is there to protect you, and you know exactly what you are being governed by, which legislation, for instance, the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, Labor Relations Act, Employment Equity Act, etc. So ideally, you really want to have the status of your employment relationship to be established right from the beginning.
Greetings, colleagues. So I am actually the Snezi, and the other person is Awet, and you keep miss. But it's okay. So I have only one question that I'd like to ask, and it says, what are the different types of employee relationships? Because obviously I think there should be a relationship between employees.
Sure. So you're asking me what are the different types of
Employee relationships?
100%. Yeah. So in the general sense of the word, we have generally two types of employment relationships. You have your employer and employee relationship, which is the normal run of the mill, whereby you are working at a company or you're working, you know, it's mostly corporate and those kind of setups. You know, then you have your letting and hiring, which is also called your independent contractors. These are normally when you're doing service level agreements, perhaps you are doing tenders, you know, you are not employed by, let's say, the municipality per se, but you are there to do a specific task or job. And once that task or job has been completed, then the relationship ends. For instance, the guy that comes and looks after your plumbing when you have a situation, you're calling a plumber, you've created that relationship whereby he comes, fixes the problem, once he leaves, that relationship is gone. Or if you're renovating your house and you've got a contract with someone that's going to be renovating your house for 3-4 months, that relationship is one that is regarded as the letting and hiring of services. It's an independent contractor. You have not employed them full time to come and renovate your house for the rest of your life. Not so. So that's the kind of different relationships you have generally.
Mm. Oh, wow. Okay. And I know that employment contracts comes with laws that are within the workspace that could be followed. Maybe which laws are important for employees to know when they enter into an employment contract?
Thank you for that, Awetu. There are different pieces of legislation. However, the main ones, the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, the Labor Relations Act, and the Employment Equity Act. So those three pieces of legislation in the main are the ones which, govern the relationship of employer-employee. The Basic Conditions of Employment Act would apply to employers and their workers as to regulating leave, working hours, and deductions in your payslips, such as UIF and other things, regulating issues relating to termination of employment, be it for whatever. There are many reasons where now employers would have to follow certain processes. And then the Labor Relations Act. Now, that would be the law that governs the relationship in the labor space, broadly.
Sure.
Such as organizational rights of trade unions to protect and facilitate collective bargaining at the workplace, things like that. Including issues surrounding CCMA processes, the Labor Relations Act is more involved there, and the Employment Equity Act aims to achieve equity in the workplace by implementing affirmative action measures to redress disadvantages experienced by designated groups who were previously disadvantaged.
Very interesting that we should know those laws.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like we do have someone who asked the questions.
Ms. We do have questions coming through our WhatsApp line, and currently we have Ulisa asking, Guti, I work as a freelancer, but I'm considering taking on a full-time role. What should I know about transitioning from an independent contractor to a permanent employee in terms of the contract?
Okay. Look, as an independent contractor, for example, the caller or your listener there must realize that now, as an independent contractor, they would have been responsible for their tax liability issues, their tax compliance, and things like when they get paid, they would have been paid as per the service level agreement or the service contract that they had with the other party. Mm-hmm. But as a full-time employee going into an employer-employee relationship, the first thing that they must know that is that the employer is obligated by law to make those deductions, the relevant tax deductions.
Okay.
For example, and then they would be entitled to other protections such as leave days, working hours. Normal working hours, where now if you work overtime, you must know about your overtime, pay. And then to enjoy all other benefits which are being enjoyed by the other employees of the company. And over and above, the employer will have authority as per their authority over you as an employee, as per the employer's policies. Whereas if you are an independent contractor, you are ruled by that service level agreement.
No, definitely. And as Usizwe here is asking about voluntary contracts, Uti, he is in a voluntary contract of which he says, I don't understand, what is it for? Is it also important to have a contract if you are a volunteer?
100%. Remember, even though you are volunteering your services to doing something, you are still doing a specific task, you know, so that kind of task has to be somewhat regulated in terms of how long will I be volunteering for? How many hours will I be volunteering for? What will I be doing? Is there kind of stipend at the end? Will there be some kind of benefit at the end of this volunteering service, such as maybe as a certificate or anything of that nature? So once again, it goes back, the same principle runs through the whole kind of contracts, in that it is important to have these in writing so that you know exactly what you're volunteering for and what you're going to be benefiting after you volunteer. You understand? So
yes.
100%, whether it's you giving your services for free, you need to know exactly what you're getting yourself into, and so that if there should be any disputes in future, we are then able to go back to the contract and look at what solution the contract provides in terms of the problem that we have. So again, I'll always emphasize, it is always important to have whatever agreements, whether you are buying a vehicle or getting a loan or giving a friend up money or whatever the case may be.
Yes.
Always have things in writing so that when there's problems arise, you are able to refer back to the agreement and find a solution.
Definitely not. Thank you so much. Hopefully, uzwile lapha usizwe in Morningside.
And I want to, it is important for your listener to know that when they enter into a volunteering relationship, this does not necessarily mean that they are an employee of that company. However, because they are most likely the company, the institution would make available their premises for them to possibly learn or other things, and they would have to adhere to, you know, rules and regulations, company policies to a certain extent. Yes.
Wow.
No, like the use of computers and printers or whatever facilities are available.
Wow, definitely. I think we'll need a whole 30 minutes for this feature, Sneziwe, because it's quite important. And apologies to our news department, because it's 9 o'clock now. We just have to go to the news in few seconds, actually. It's Kat Siasha. But quickly, gentlemen, before I let you go, maybe let me start with you, Deboho. What advice would you give to the listeners and public at large as we wrap it up regarding our employment contracts?
100%. So just generally, quickly, people must just ensure that they read their employment contracts thoroughly and understand fully what their respective employment contracts entail. Equally so, it is important to have some basic understanding of the different legislations that govern South African law. And it's important to know that the laws that we have mentioned are just a basic guide, and they are there to protect you as an employee. Thus, it is important to know your rights and equally your responsibilities as an employee in order to have a fruitful relationship with your employer. And as the old saying goes, ignorance is no excuse, because in the end, it is you as the employee who will suffer if you don't get acquainted with the different legislations that protect and govern your employment contracts.
Definitely. Quickly, was that Aubrey?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I want to just quickly... what is important is that the public should know that should there be a dispute, they should not wait for a long period before asserting their rights. At least within 14 days, if there's any problem, especially when it comes to unfair dismissal, if you feel disgruntled, go to the CCMA within 14 days. The forms are there at the CCMA or at the web on their website or at the Department of Employment and Labor offices. So I'm saying there's different time frames, but in the interest of time, just know that within 14 days, if you feel disgruntled, if an employee feels disgruntled, approach the CCMA within 14 days, or at least approach your attorneys within 14 days. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Teboho Siyabonga Kakhulu, gentlemen, for just enlightening us with our employment contracts. We really appreciate your time. And thank you so much to our news department as well for granting us 2 minutes. Let's go straight.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.